Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Amud, and at the Gemara. The Gemara begins a discussion that there's a halachic issue of Shtiyah B'chalal Achila. When somebody mentions Achila, is Shtiyah included in that statement? Is drinking included in that statement? Or is drinking not included in that statement? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Chiya bar Oven Amar Shmuel, Shvua Shlo Echel. If someone made a Shvua that he won't eat, and Veshasa, and then after he made such a Shvua, he drank, says the Gemara, he's Chayiv. That he's Chayiv for violating the Shvua, because the Gemara is teaching us that Shtiya is Bechlal Achila. And says the Gemara, how do we know that so is the Halacha? So says the Gemara, Iba Yisema, if we want, we could understand that this comes from Svara. It's something that we understand logically. And Iba Yisema, or we could want, we could say it's a kra. It's based on a postik. So of course, the Rishonim already asked the question. If as we're going to learn that this is something that we learn from a postik, why would we need a svara? Isn't a pasuk as strong as it's going to get? So the Halachas Gedolah says that under normal circumstances, certainly if there's a pasuk that teaches us something, we don't need any further proof that that's the halacha. But when we speak about nedarim and shvuos, as we often discussed in our shurim, there's a rule of Dibur Torah that we hold by the Dharma Shavuos, we hold achaloshim ne'adam. We follow the way people speak. And therefore, since by the Dharma Shavuos, it's a different concept, so then we have to find the pasuk itself would be inadequate. But on the other hand, so now ask the Sefer Paris Yosef, if the halacha by Shavuos and the Dharam is hocham achaloshim ne'adam, we follow the way people speak, so then the halacha should be just the opposite. Then the svara that the Gemara is now going to teach us should be adequate. Why do we need a pasuk? So he answers that the Yerushalmi says that even though we just said that by Nedarim, by Shavuos, Halchan Achalosh Ne'odam, we follow the way people speak, but however, there are opinions, it's a machloikis, if Halchan Achalosh Ne'odam, we follow the way people speak, we follow after the way the Torah speaks. And since it's not clear, the Gemara wants to cover both sides of the equation and brings the Svara, according to the opinion of Dibur Torah, and also brings the Pasuk to cover the opinion that holds Torah. And the Gemara explains itself. Ibai is same Svara. How do we see from Svara? If somebody says to somebody else, please come and eat with me, and when you invite somebody, you certainly violate what you serve him is achli v'shasa. You serve him food, but you also serve him drink. So we see that drink is included in achila. And Tosfos points out that even though our discussion here is about achila, and the Gemara just said something regarding teima, the Tosfos says that the word teima and the word achila could be used interchangeably. V'ibayis emakra, shtiyah b'chlal achila. We could prove from a pasuk that there's that the halach is that shtiyah is included in achila. Damrish lakish b'nayin l'shtiyah b'chlal achila. How do we know that drinking is included in the word achila? Shnayim the pasuk says v'chalta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. So the Torah says that you should have the chalta. The Torah uses the word the chalta, and it speaks about the gancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. And tirosh, says the Gemara, chamrahu. Tirosh is wine, and we see that the pasuk use the word v'chalta. Of course, the Gvuras Ari asks that why is the Gemara focused on bringing a raya? Because we speak about tiroshcha, which means wine. Why don't we bring a raya from yitzarecha? from the oil, which is also a beverage, a liquid. So he answers that we can't use shemen, oil, as a proof that shti is b'chlal achila, because nobody eats, drinks oil unless it's mixed into a different food. So when we speak about shemen, it can't be speaking about shtia shemen, because people don't drink shtia's shemen. And therefore, it must, the focus is on the tirosh, the wine. Ritzvi Pesach Frank, in the Shal Satchuvas Har Tzvi, Yoridei Simen Kuf Tzadik Vov, brings this question. If we learn now in the Gemara, if we're learning that the Aloch is Shtiyas B'chlal Achila, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that when the Torah, when we use the word Achila, Shtiya is also included. Or do we say that Achila means Achila? Just we assume that when somebody uses the word Achila, he also, when he uses the word Achila, he's also referencing Shtiya. But it doesn't mean to say, what it does not mean to say, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in that question, that shtia is really part of the chila. So he wants to say that this, in other words, all it means to say is that when the person said achila, he probably meant shtia as well. But it doesn't mean to say that shtia is actually included in the word achila. So he wants to suggest that that question is really connected to the question that we just learned in the Gemara, how we know that a shtiyah is b'chal achila, if we know it from a svara or we know it from a krah. He says, according to the opinion that says we know it from a svara, what does the svara say? That the assumption is that when I invite you to eat, or I say I'm not going to eat, I mean drinking as well. So according to that opinion, it's not to say that achila means shtia. Achila means only eating, but the context teaches us that it means also shtia. However, according to the opinion that we are now learning, that says that achila, that we learn it from a pasuk, so if we learn it from the pasuk is teaching us that achila includes not just achila, but achila also includes shtia. Says the Gemara, the Dilma, but the proof therefore, says the Gemara, is since the Pasuk used the word Achila, and in the Torah used the word Achila, and I also spoke about Tiroishcha, which is wine, obviously something we drink. Says the Gemara, who says that the wine, the Dilma, who says that the wine that's being referenced in that Pasuk is speaking about drinking wine? Maybe it means Aidei Nigrin. There was some sort of a dish that they used to prepare, and wine was one of the ingredients in that food. Damar Rava Amishmul, a nigrim. What is a nigrim? Mine the silken. It's a food that's made out of beets. The sigrin, and the different type of food. Mine the kulishilki, that we cook the vegetable very much. But it has wine, but it's not that it means straight wine. Elam Amar Ravach B'Yakov. How do we know that achil is b'chlal shtia? Says the Mar Mehoch, we know it from this pasuk. The pasuk speaks about Ma'is Hasheni. The Torah says, "V'nasata kes b'chol ha'shatava nafshcha, b'boker b'tzoyin b'yayin sheicher." Yayin, says the Gemara, is chamrehu. Whenever the Torah used the word yayin, it means wine. And what does the pasuk say here? Here the pasuk continues to say, v'achalta. So clearly, shti is b'chlal achila. Says the Gemara again. Maybe when the Torah uses the yain here, it doesn't mean straight wine. It means aidei anigram. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says sheicher ksiv, and sheicher means the liquid. But and ask the Gemara, who says that that's what sheicher means? Maybe the definition of sheicher is midin the meshaker, something that will get you intoxicated. V'dilma, says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to learn, maybe sheikh has nothing to do with wine. It refers to dvela kilis. It's a type of fig that's dried and it comes from a place called ke'ila, and it could intoxicate. Ketanya ocha dvela ke'ilis. If somebody ate this type of fig, v'shasa dvash v'cholav, or somebody ate honey or milk, these are all things that intoxicate. V'nichsan l'migdash, and he was a kohen and entered the base of migdash. V'ovad, and did the avoda, he's chayiv malchus. So says the Gemara. So who says that shecher is referring to wine? Ella the gama shecher shecher menazer. The Torah says here the word shecher, and the Torah says miyayin v'shecher yazir. Chaimus yayin v'chaimus shecher lo yishta. Mala halon. Just like when we speak about the nazir, it means yayin. Afkan yayin. So here too, it must be yayin. And even though it means the word yayin, it means wine, still the Torah used the word vachalta, clearly indicating that when we use the word achila, the word achila means yayin. So I saw, if we're saying now that shti is b'chlal achila, Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, in a safer Tamid the Craw, asks a question. The Pasuk says in Megillus Esther that Esther sends instructions. V'tzumu alai v'altoichu v'altishtu. So he asks that the Pasuk says v'tzumu alai, that everybody should fast. So if they're supposed to fast, they're obviously not going to eat and drink. And furthermore, he says that if we're learning now that shti is b'chlal achila, so once the Pasuk says v'altoichu, don't eat, so it's obviously tishtu, which is shti b'chlal achila, is included. He says that the Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Tezvav Amar Aleph, teaches us v'yaver martcha, and the Gemara explains over the Amar Rav sheheve yom rishon shel Pesach b'tainus, that Mordechai decreed the first day of Pesach should be a fast. And what Rashi explains, v'hever al das, it's a yontif, it's Pesach, we're not supposed to fast, and still he decreed a fast. And that's why the Pasuk says, al toichlu v'atishtu. The Pasuk says, al toichlu, was meant to say that Mordechai said to them that even though today's Pesach, on a Pesach there's a mitzvah, teat matzah maror, he specifically decreed, al toichlu, don't eat the matzah maror. And when he said, al tishtu, he meant to say that even though it's Pesach, don't drink the dal koisis. So in other words, he's saying that when Esther said, sumo alai, when Esther said fasting, that was enough. She need not say any more. The reason why it was added to Al-Toichel Tishtu was to teach that not only may they not must they fast, but actually what it means to say is Al-Toichel Tishtu, that they shouldn't fulfill the mitzvahs hayoyim, the mitzvahs hayoyim of achila, and the mitzvah hayoyim of shtiyah. But it has nothing to do with our discussion here, if shtiyah is b'chlal achila or not. Amarava, afanan nami tanina. Our Mishnah really teaches us the same halacha, that shtiyah is b'chlal achila. Because the Mishnah said, if somebody said, shvu shlo yoichel, v'ochel v'shoso, ein achai v'alachas. So says the Gemara, yeah, b'shlomo, if the halacha is that shtiyah is b'chal l'chila, and when he said loy oichel, he also means loy yishta. So therefore, when he eats or drinks, he's violating kishvur. Etzuch le'tana l'shminan, and the Tana is coming to teach us that chayiv al achas, that it's all one shvur, and not chayiv's two separate shvurs. Eli am shtiyah la b'chal l'chila. If we're going to say shtiyah is not included in l'chila, shvur she'ochel. If somebody made a shvur that he won't eat, and then achal v'asim melacha mitzvah l'shmina dein achayv alachas, of course melacha was not part of his shvur. So we're going to say that shti is not b'chlal achila. Why was it necessary for our mishnah to tell us that he's not, that he's chayv only one? The shtiyah is not included in what he said. Clearly, shtiyah is included in what he said, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though shtiyah is included in what he said, it's still, when he eats and drinks, he's only chayv for one shua. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava, and the way I saw that the Rishonim explained this, it's not that Abaya is disagreeing with Rava that says shtiyah b'chlal achila. There's been enough proof in our Gemara, they explain, that shtiyah is b'chlal achila. He's just trying to understand how Rava will react. Amalei Baya Elamai Shti B'chlal Achila Eimah Sefer. Let's come and learn the Sefer of our Mishnah. The Sefer of our Mishnah teaches us if somebody said Shvur Shloyachov Shloyeshta V'ach V'shasa Chayiv Shtayim. Now ask the Gemara. Kim Dam Shloyachov the moment he said shloyachel, it's lay b'shtia. If we're learning that shtia is b'chal achila, so when he said these words, shtia became asa to him. So v'chi amar. So therefore, when he says afterwards shloyashta amai chayiv, why will that be a valid shvua? Says the Gemara. Haven't we learned many times in our shurim that ilo amishlo yeshta trei zimni? If somebody would say that I'm not going to drink, and he said it twice, the loch is mimchayv tarti. We said that if somebody makes a shvua shloy oichel, and then he makes an identical shvua, the second shvua is meaningless. So why over here, when he said shloy oichel v'shloy eshta, why is the loy eshta a valid shvua? He already said loy oichel, and was saying that loy oichel includes loy eshta. Amalei. So Rava responds, Hassam, the safe of our Mishnah speaking about a situation, Da'ama, he first said shvua shloy eshta. So says the Gemara that even though we're learning in our Shia today the Shtiyah b'chlal achila isa, that Shtiyah is included in achila, everybody will agree that achila b'shtal shlisa lesa. And when you said Shtiyah, you certainly didn't make achila. And therefore, since the first Shvua only said loy eshta, so the first Shvua only meant drinking, and therefore the second Shvua where you said loy eshta is going to be effective. Avlomer. So according to this, what would be the halacha if somebody said shvur shloy oichav shloy eshta, that he said both loy oichav loy eshta v'ochav v'shas amai? Since achshti is bechlal achila, so the second shvur becomes a meaningless shvur, and therefore in such a situation an achayv alachas. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that if somebody said first shloy oichav and then he said shloy eshta, since shti is b'chlal achila, therefore the second shvua of shloy eshta becomes a meaningless shvua. So ask the Gemara, listen, somebody, so the Mishnah should have told us a bigger chiddush. Instead of telling us a case where somebody in the ratio said shvua shloy oichav v'ochav v'shasa and chayiv alesna, elachas is only chayiv one malchus or one carbon, the Mishnah could have told us a bigger chiddush. That even though the person explicitly said shvua shloy oichav v'shloy eshta, since oichel includes shtia, so it's considered as if he made only one shvua and a chayv lachas koshkein, and therefore it will be understood that if he said loy oichel luchudei, that his shvua is only chayv lachas. So as the Gemara means to say, the question is, why didn't the Gemara tell us the bigger chiddush? Says the Gemara, La'olam kidektani. The Mishnah is speaking indeed about a situation where somebody said shloy oichel v'shloy eshta. But if that's the case, and we're learning now, ask the Gemara, that shtia is b'chlal achila, so now we have a question. So why is the shvua of loy eshta valid? Says the Gemara, shani hocha. Here, it's not the same. Because, suggests the Gemara, kim da'im shloy oichel. First, the person made a statement shloy oichel, and after he made the statement shloy oichel, hadam shloy eshta, gol adati. Here, he's saying that even though normally yes shtiz b'chal achila, here he's showing that when he uses the word achila, achila greatsa he only means achila, and therefore even though normally we will say shtiz b'chal achila, here it's not, and therefore since here it's not, it's considered that you didn't make the same shvua twice. Aravashi, she mesnisin amidaika. We could bring another raya from our Mishnah that shti is b'chlal achila, because the Mishnah said shvua loy oichel v'oichel shen ruin lachila. Somebody made a shvua that he's not going to eat, and then he ate food that's not really edible. V'shasa mashkin shen ruin shtiya. We drank beverages that are not really something to be drink. That we drink potter ha haruyin, but it's Mishnah is teaching us because he ate and drank food that's not really edible, something that's drinkable. V'amai, v'ashvur shloy oichel kamar. Why are we talking about shtia? The person made when the person articulated his shvur, he only spoke about oichel, says the Gemara. So we see, because when he says oichel, shtia must be included. Says the Gemara, your proof is not compelling. Dilma da'ayma tarti. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where he indeed stated two phrases. He said shvur shloy oichel and shvur shloy eshta, and now The Mishnah is saying that if the person said these two phrases, but he eats food that's not edible, or he drinks something which is not drinkable, he's not going to be chayiv on those foods. Says the Mishnah, we learned the Mishnah, somebody said, Shvuah, Shloyach, Vachal, Pas, Chitin, he ate all different types of bread, he's going to be chayiv only for one. But if he said, Shvuah, Shloyach, Pas, Chitin, Pas, Oyer, Pas, Kusmin, chayiv, Kol, Achas, Vachas. Says the Gemara, why do we believe that when he enunciated each type of bread individual, he meant to make a separate shvu on each bread? What he's trying to say is that I'm only making a shvu that these following types of bread are not going to be, I may not eat, and every other type of bread I may eat, but he only meant to say one bread. Answers the Gemara, if that was his intention, why did he have to say pas chitin, pas soirim, pas kusmin? It's an indication that he meant separate shvuas. Ask the Gemara, but if he would have said chitin, soirim, v'kusmin, then and that would have been a problem. Because we would say, demolokos, that what he meant to say was that he's not allowed to chew grains, wheat grain, or barley, and he had nothing to do with bread. So the reason that he said bread is not to separate it into separate shvuos, but to say, I meant eating, not chewing. Says the Gemara, if that was his goal, he could have accomplished it. Havel Meimer, pas chitim sarim v'kusman. The fact that he said the word pas separately each time indicates that he meant each bread should have its own shvua. Ask the Gemara, no. If he would have said pas chitin v'sarim v'kusmin, and that would indicate that it just means all other breads are mutter, he's talking about eating, not chewing. Then the pas chitin lecho. If he would have said pas chitin v'sarim kusmin, people would interpret what he means to say that pas, I'm not going to eat bread from wheat, and sarim v'kusmin. At the sign of a kusman, I'm not even allowed to chew the grain. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why he said it this way. Says the Gemara, if that's what he's trying to accomplish, have a lemeimer, pas chitim shel sa'arim v'shel kusman. And ask the Ramban, let's understand this Gemara, says the Ramban. Why would we start interpreting what he's saying, not in the normal way of interpretation, that the Gemara has to come up with all sorts of answers? So Ramban says that when somebody makes a neder or a shvua, he's particular to say it in a way that there should be no room for misinterpretation. And that's really, says the Ramban, the premise of our entire Gemara. The premise of our entire Gemara is that we want to avoid saying it in a way that could be misinterpreted. Says the Gemara, V'duma, if he's going to say pas chitin v'shel sa'arim v'shel kusmin, it will be misinterpreted. That he means is that he can't eat a bread that's aydei teruvus, that's made out of these three different ingredients. Says the Gemara, if that's what he meant to say, eim v'chein shel sa'arim v'chein shel kusmin, pas lomeli, why do you have to go to the great detail of saying pas separately each time? Shmamina, it is an indication that what his intention was, l'chalik, to separate this into separate shvuas, and therefore if he ate these, in this case, if he ate from these three different types of bread, he'll be considered that he violated three different shvuas. We learned in the Mishnah further, shvuas l'esta v'shasa mashkin harbe, if somebody said just a general shvu, I won't drink, and then he drank many different beverages, however, if somebody said shvuah shleishta yaim shem advash, there he's chayv achas v'achas. Says the Gemara, bishlam ha'osam. So now says the Gemara, in the previous piece of Gemara, we said da'amam yasrelei, the fact that he said the word pas separately for each type of bread, says the Gemara, was clearly that his intention, after learning the last piece of Gemara, that his intention to accomplish was l'chiyuvah, that he's going to be chayiv for each one separately. Aval hocha, why do we say when he says yain shem dvash, he means to say each one separately, ma'av l'meimer, What do you want him to say? Do you know why? And you'll say, well, why do you have to single out each one separately? Because he wanted to say that only these beverages are usur, no other beverages are usur. Amra Papa says the Gemara Hocha, we're speaking, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where you have Yain, Shemen, and Devash, Menachem, Lefan, of Askinim, are all right in front of him. He could have just said, I'm not going to drink these. The fact that he separated each one is an indication that it means a separate shvuah for each one. V'deima, maybe we should interpret what he means to say is, this I'm not drinking, achrina asena. And that's why he had to say yain, shem, and devash. But how does that indicate that he meant different, that he meant to make each one a separate shvuah? Says the Gemara El Domer, Shua Delosh Sinu, he made a Shvu I won't drink, Kigoin Elu, they won't drink from these. So that would be enough to make these usur. The fact that he went on to say Yain, Shemen, and Devash means separate Shvus. As the Gemara, if he would have used that wording, Dilma, Kigoin Elu Losh Sinu, Batsim Hachavitchem Hachavishin Sinu, only the mount. He's also referring to the amount, and there's a certain amount of each one of these beverages on the table, and he's saying this amount, not another amount. Ella could go into Omer, says the Gemara, he should have said Shvu Shleshtim Min Elu. The fact that he singled them out is an indication they mean separate Shvus. Again, ask the Gemara Dima, Min Elu Hudalash Sinu, that these I won't drink, these types of drink I won't drink. But these actual beverages that are here, Shasina, says the Gemara, it could have been accomplished if that's all he meant to do. He could have said, Shloi Eshta Elu Minayu. The fact that he singled out each one individually, again, clearly indication that he means to separate the three into Shavuos. Ravachabe Revek Amar says a different way of understanding the Mishnah. The Mesar by Chavir Eskinen. Our Mishnah, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, is that we have to always look at the context. And the Mishnah is speaking about the Mesar by Chavir Eskinen, that somebody's asking him, Dom Loi Bov Shisei Mi Yayim V'Shem Devash. He's being invited to come drink Shem Yayim Devash, and the person doesn't want to. And the way he responds is, he should have said that he doesn't want to. So if all he meant was to make one shvuah to show that he doesn't want to drink, it would have been enough for him to say, shvuah shlei eshtimcha. Why did he have to single out yayin shem devash, lomeli, to teach us that he clearly meant l'chayva kol achas v'achas. There's a din of shvuah spekodim. The halacha is that if somebody is holding somebody else's object, whether he got it as a bekodim means that he was asked to hold it for safekeeping, whether he got it as a loan, whether he stole it, whether he found somebody else's object, and the person who owns the object approaches him and says, please give me back the object, my object that you are holding, and he denies that he's holding, and he swears falsely that he's not holding anything of his, that is a violation of what the Torah says, lo yishakru ish b'misai. And the Torah says that if he admits that he lied, he has to pay the keren, and he has the value, the principal, plus a chaimish, and he has to bring a carbon ashram. This is called the sham gezelis. And the chayiv for this ashram, whether it was b'mezid or whether it was b'shaydik. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah we're going to learn later in our Masechta, on Daf Lamed Vav Amabez, that speaks about the Shavuos B'Kodim, where somebody approaches somebody else and says, Toyin li chitim sa'arim v'kus m'shiyesh l'biyotcha, return to me all of these ingredients that belong to me that you are holding on to. And the person says, Shavuosh en l'cha b'yodei klum, then en l'chayiv achas, only have to bring one carbon asham. But if the way he responds is Shavuosh en l'cha b'yodei chitim sa'arim v'kus min, then the loch is chayiv akal achas v'achas, it could be chayiv a separate shavuah for each one. Vam Rabbi Yochanan says, the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan says that even if we don't have a shava pruta from each object individually, a fila pruta mikulam, we have to combine them all to achieve a pruta, then mitzterefis. Says the Gemara, Pligiba, there's a machlokes what, how to learn the Mishnah and how to understand what Rabbi Yochanan said. Pligiba, it says machlokes between Rav Acher and Ravina, how to understand the Mishnah and how to understand Rabbi Yochanan, and how to understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Chad Amar, when the person says, Shvua she'en lecha b'yadei chitim v'sayim v'kusman, aprati mechayiv, there's three, it's considered three separate shuas. One for the chitim, one for the sayim, and one for the kusman. But a klali, lo'y mechayiv. The fact that he also said, Shvua she'en lecha b'yadei, and then he continued saying, chitim v'sayim v'kusman. So it's, the halacha looks at it as three separate shuas, and the halacha is that, but it's not considered a shvua that includes them all. And in this case, even though Rabbi Yochanan said that all the different objects could combine for shava pruta, that's only in a case where he said a general statement, shvua she'en lecha b'yadei klum. That's when all the value of the different objects could combine. But if he said each type separately, then the halacha is that these are considered three separate shvuas, and he's only going to be chayiv for any for an object that's a shava pruta. That's one way of interpreting the Mishnah. Charama, the other Amara says that somebody says shvua she'en lecha b'yadei, and then he continues saying chitim sayim v'kusmin, then the halacha is klali nami mechayiv. So the way this is to be understand that he's really going to be chayiv for four shvuas. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. He's going to be chayiv for the shvua she'en lecha b'yadei, and that shvua will include that they could all the different types could be mitzdarif, and if they are shava pruta, he'll be chayiv a korban asham. And then we're furthermore going to say that for each one of the details that he said chitim sayim v'kusman, each is considered a separate shvua, but for that, each min has to be shava pruta. So it'll be a case, that's where combination will be possible, and moreover, it's going to be a case where you could be chayiv for four shvuas. So now ask the Gemara. That's the Mishnah over there on Daf Lamed Vav regarding shvuas pekadim. So now ask the Gemara, hachi mai. What would be the case when somebody said shvua shloichu pas chitim, pas sayim, pas kusman? Will it be considered four shvuas, like the second opinion we just learned, or will be considered three shvuas? Amar Rav Hachi Hashta. Says the Gemara, the two situations that we are discussing are not the same. Hasam, mechayiv klala, mechayiv prata. We chayiv for the ein lecha b'yadei, and we also chayiv for each one individually. Doi mishtabe v'hadam mishtabe, because by shvuas b'kadim, if somebody swears that he doesn't hold, he's not holding anything that belongs to him, and then he swears the same shvu again, that we're going to learn also later in the Masechta, that even though, as we're discussing very extensively in our shiurim, that you can't typically make a shvuas bitui twice the same one, there you can. Hacha, but in our Gemara, Yisak Adatach Issa Beklala, if we're going to say that the first shvua, where he said shvua shloichel, is considered a shvua, then the second shvua, Prati Mai Mechayiv, then the second shvua is not a valid shvua. Because as we keep on learning in our shiurim, in a case where you repeat a shvua, the second shvua is not valid because he's already mujbe v'oymed. So since it's a case where he's already mujbe v'oymed, so the second shvua becomes meaningless, so why would you be chayiv? So it must be that the two cases are different. We learned in our Mishnah Shvua Shloichel, if somebody made a shvua that he's not going to eat, and then he ate food that's not edible, and he drank something which is not drinkable, or he ate nevelis, that he's potter. But says the Gemara, if he made a shvua that he's not going to eat, and he ate non-kosher food, nevelis, atreifah, shkotz, remoshim, chayiv. Says the Gemara, hagufa kasha. Let's analyze our Mishnah. Amrit, first the Mishnah said, if somebody said shvua shloichel, he makes a shvua that he's not going to eat, and he ate oichel she'ena ruin lachila, v'shasa mashkin she'ena reshuin l'shtiyah, potter. So, it says the Gemara, that presumably, Nevela and Trefa are considered ain't a ruy lachila because we're not allowed to eat them. V'hatatani, somebody says shvu shloyoichel v'ochel nevelas v'trefa shmasu remashim chayiv. So ask the Gemara. It seems that there's a contradiction in our Mishnah. Mishnah Reisha. Why in the Reisha are you? The Mishnah seems to be teaching us that you potter by nevelas and trefas. Or Mishnah Sefer, from the Sefer it seems that you're going to be chayiv. Answers the Gemara. Holei kasha. Reisha b'stam. This says somebody just made a shvua, a general shvua. And from that, it's shvua seems to mean that you're not going to eat food that is not, that you're not, that doesn't include food that's not edible. And the velas and trefers are included in foods that are not edible. Sefer b'mefarish. The sefer is where the person says shvua shloichel trefers and the velas. Says the Gemara. And therefore, since he explicitly said that he's making a shvua, he's not going to eat nevelas and trefas, and now he violated that shvua, that's why he's chayiv. But ask the Gemara, why? That nami gufa tiksha, that is a question. Even though he explicitly said that a shvua is on nevelas and trefas, why would it be a good shvua? We keep on learning the concept of mujbe v'ayim v'arsinai. He can't make a shvua on something that's already osur to him because the Torah says it's osur. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, the Amri, this shvua is a valid shvua, even though he's making about a shvua about something that he's anyway not allowed to eat, because it's referring to a situation, b'kol dvaram matarim and dvaram asurim. He said, I'm not going to eat nevela meat and kosher meat. So since the shvua is effective as far as the kosher meat is concerned, it's also going to be effective for the nevela meat. Mishlokesh Amar, Yatamaitse. Why? What is the situation? Ella, either in the case of Mefarish Chetzishir, he said that I'm not going to eat less than a kazayis. V'aliva the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim said that if somebody makes a shvur, so the shvur under normal circumstances, as we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Yotes, according to the Chum, is a kazayis. If he explicitly said that he means less than a kazayis, so then it's included. So now let's think about it. According to the Torah, you're not allowed to eat a kazayis in the veils of trefus. But if he said explicitly that he meant a less than a kazayis, on less than a kazayis, he's not mujbev oimid. Because it's less than a kazayis, that's why the shvua is chal. Or yibestam, or according to Rekiva, it's even easier to understand. Because we learned in that Mishnah, Rekiva's opinion is that whenever you say a shvua about eating, you mean less than a kazayis. I leave the Rekiva to Omar. So when the person made a shvua that he's not going to eat nevela, what did he mean by saying that he's not going to eat nevela? What he means to say he's not going to eat a kolshu of nevela. And a shvua not to eat a kolshu of nevela is a valid shvua because the Torah only says a kazayis is also. So we have two different ways, says the Gemara, of understanding how the shvua of lo yoichel nevelas in our Mishnah will be valid. Either Rabbi Yochanan's approach of koilili included kosher meat and non-kosher meat in one shvua, or the approach of Rabbi Shlokish, that Rabbi Shlokish's approach is that he said that I mean less than a shear. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan lam b'kri Shlokish. Why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't explain Rabbi Shlokish? Because mukum law, because Rabbi Yochanan wants to explain the Mishnah, Kedivri Akol. And Rabbi Shlokish did not have that way. Because if we're going to say that the Mishnah is not talking about Mefarish, we just said Stam, as we just finished saying, he's going to be locked in to explain that he's following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. But ask the Gemara, El Rish Lokish, my Tam Alamach Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't you just say like Rabbi Yochanan? That it's a Shvuas Koilil. And he said kosher and non-kosher. And since the Shvuas Chal on the kosher meat, Koilil says that it's also Chal on the non-kosher meat. Amalach, so Rish Lokish says, I am reading Issa Koilil. If we're going to say Issa Koilil, then when do we say that? Be Issa Abba Me'elov. Like on Yom Kippur. So even though the Loch is that in Issa Chalil Isser, but since when you make a shvua that you're not going to eat non-kosher meat on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat anything else, so that's when we say that even though normally we say Ein Issa Chalil Isser, that's when we say it's Chal here. But the Issa to eat on Yom Kippur is not a man-made Issa. It's an Issa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. When it's an Issa that's not a man-made Issa, there we say the concept that an Issa Koilel, we say Issa Chalal Issa, and the Shvua will be a Shvua. But here, we're talking about Inis Abayi Dei Atzmai. We're talking about a man-made Issa. And since we're talking about a man-made Issa made based on my Shvua, there we don't say the klal of Issa Koilel, Issa Chal Alisser. And therefore, explaining the Mishnah that's speaking about an Issa Koilel is not going to be acceptable according to Reish Lakish is a way to explain the Mishnah. The Rambam, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in understanding the Rambam, says how, in explaining Reish Lakish Psak, that if somebody says that he's not going to eat a kol shehu, and then violates his shvua, then the halacha is he's going to be chayiv a carbon for violating the shvua. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if we look in the words of the Rambam, that he's chayiv a carbon only if he eats less than a kazayas. But what would be if he would eat a kazayas? Then he wouldn't bring a carbon. Because as we're learning according to Reish Lakish, explains Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if he would have said, according to Reish Lakish, if he would have said a kazayas, the shvua is not chal, because it's mujbe v'oymed. The only reason the shvua is chal is because he said a less than a kazayas. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger that the Rambam is teaching us that this shvua is only effective if he eats less than a kazayas. However, if he eats a kazayas or more, since we said that if that would be the shvua, it wouldn't be a valid shvua, therefore he's not going to be chayiv if that's how much as he ate. So it turns out to be fascinating, according to Akiva Eiger's understanding of the Rambam. If he eats, in this case, less than a kazayas, he'll be chayiv a carbon. But if he eats a kazayas or more, he won't be chayiv a carbon. Dar Sameach disagrees. And he says that Akiva Eiger's reading of the Rambam is not to be read that way. Because he says, how does Dar Sameach understand the Rambam? So he says that the way to understand the Rambam is that the Rambam means to say that as soon as you eat less than a kazayas, you're going to be chayiv a carbon. And the fact that after you eat the less, you eat less than that afterwards, it doesn't make more than that afterwards, it doesn't make a difference. Once the Isser was put in place, that Isser remains. And as soon as you eat less than a kazayas, it's considered you violated the shvua, and what you eat more afterwards is immaterial.